produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
This is Minister Brenda Litsolenyane Inspirational Talk on United Kingdom Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Paget.
Good day, saints. Hope you are well. Hope you are great. You are blessed. You are graced. For our Lord is good, our Lord is great, and our Lord is gracious. Praise you, Jesus. Today it's one of the Fridays in your lifespan. Praise you, Jesus. One of the Fridays in your lifespan, meaning that this Friday is a Friday that you have never experienced before. You never knew about this day. You never had a clear vision of what the activities about today will be all about. And it means, yes, you are about to experience that which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived. So let me just welcome you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Can I just encourage you? Just to sing it out. Just sing it out. Let's go. Yes. Declare. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Declare, child of God. Yes. Declare till it becomes part of you. Hallelujah. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Declare, child of God. Declare, child of God. Do not give up. Use the little strength that remains. Let's do it again. Praise you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Let's go again. Jesus. Yes, tell yourself. Declare. Jesus. The anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing breaks the yoke. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Yena uyangithanda. Jesus, yena uyangithanda. Jesus. This is a rare Friday. It's a unique Friday. God is doing a new thing. Praise you, Jesus. In your life. Inside of you. Inside of you. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Remember, I'm looking forward to September the 20th. God is doing something great inside of you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Jesus. Ooh. Thank you, Jesus. Nami, uyangithanda. You tell yourself that, Nami, if things are happening in people's lives, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. La. If things are happening around you in people's lives, nawe uthi yebo, nami uyangithanda. Don't allow the enemy to tell you about the history of your family, to tell you about the history of your life, where you failed, where your family failed. Nyaguza. You know, the Lord is not saying, believe a portion of what I'm saying. The Lord says, whose report shall you believe? Praise Jesus. So you need to believe the report of a father, purely spoken, purely received. Thank you, Jesus. All these things, the Lord will deal with them. Hallelujah. We deal with them. You know, there's a portion of the scripture where the Lord says, you will enter. For that reason, you'll enter my rest. Thank you, Jesus. So when you enter God's rest, if you only say, you know, ke se ke utlwile Jesu hampitsa. Hallelujah. Ampona ke lahlehile. Ke lahlehile bane ke ruele. A ke sa motshepa. But Modimo etsang a tla, a etsang a nkuka. I want to tell you something. God is looking at your heart. That's what I want to encourage you today. God is looking at your heart over and above your devotion to pray, to worship. God is looking at your heart. And God doesn't just like the shape of your heart. Your heart has been stretched, your heart has been shrinked because of the challenges. Spiritually, that's what is happening. A heart that is bleeding. Do you understand what I'm saying? When somebody says, I'm bleeding, you don't see the blood. So in spiritual connotations, a heart that is bruised. The Lord has seen your heart. But go to Revelations chapter 3, verse 2. The scripture says, wake up and strengthen what remains. Praise you, Jesus. Wake up and strengthen that remains. So I'm here to tell you, wake up and strengthen that remains, because I don't want you to sleep and, you know, and be frustrated, be morose and feel like, yo, the Lord doesn't love me. Remember that the song said, yes, uyangithanda. Once you've got the truth about who you are and who really loves you unconditionally, and this is God, then you'll begin to stop worrying. You will use the little strength that remains to do what? To worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Praise you, Jesus. Go to chapter 52 of Isaiah. The scripture also says, awake, awake, O Zion. Clothe yourself with strength. Put on your garments of splendor, O Jerusalem, the holy city. The uncircumcised and defiled will not enter you again. How, Uncle? The uncircumcised and the what? And the defiled will not enter you again. Demons will no longer have access. Empilenia, when I just rise up, just wake up. I'm sharing this because I want to tell you, it's up to you whether you believe what I'm saying. Or you want to believe your challenges. You want to believe Gucci things are not going well. Therefore, there is no way in which you'll rise up. You need to do certain things. We are all out. There is no all out. It starts with the heart. Then when the heart is safe, humile, then whatever you do, God is blessing the works of your heart. Praise you, Jesus. La na ganjo. I want you to listen. Praise you, Jesus. Utla fela, Jesus. Umuntu ose akuqukile athi, hayi mina Jesu, I love you so much. Ooh, Jesus, araba sathala baba bashata. Hey, Jesus, riko sotholoboloboshianda. So the uncircumcised and defiled do not enter you again. Or a shake off your dust. Rise up, sit enthroned, O Jerusalem. Free yourself from the chains on your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Suguma. Stand up. I'm here to tell you, rise up. Asina koyaula, asina koyeta. Emela. In the name of Jesus, emela. Praise you, Jesus. Rise up. Praise you, Jesus. We also are learning a lot. Guti unkulunkul maga kulmana. Just. What's our knife? Midimasi. Anasiwa kiti. Go chapter 51. The Lord says, the scripture says, listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave you birth. When I called him, he was but one, and I blessed him and made him many. So the Lord will surely comfort Zion. You are Zion. And the Lord will look with you, will look at you with what? With compassion. I don't know which is funan. It in when he says something that you don't know tonight, I want you to learn something that you don't know. Praise to Jesus. It's so powerful. I want us to learn. Hallelujah. Praise to Jesus. Ngicela sisaya ezwini, ngicela ukuthi uzijabulise uthi yes, ngiyakuthanda Jesu. Hallelujah. Just sing it out. Sing it out. Yes. Yes, tell him. Don't hold back. It's when you are shaking off the dust. Shake off that dust. Awake. Praise to Jesus. Hey. Isaiah 51. Listen to me. When somebody say, listen to me, they seek your attention. The Lord says, listen to me. Hey. Jesus. So I want to encourage you. Today I'm just influenced, under the influence of God's presence. Worship is my portion. So I want to encourage you today. But the Bible says the just shall live by faith. And what is the just? The just are the faithful. And the faithful, when you look at the meaning of that, or just, is true to facts. When you are just, you are true to facts. The facts is that Jesus loves you. The facts are that you chose to follow Jesus because yena wakuthanda kuqala, now wakhetha ukuthi ngizomthanda. And the just, which are the faithful, is the definition says behaving according to what is morally right and fair. So I want to challenge you, behave according to what is morally right and fair. Do not move from your belief system. Do not be swayed by circumstances. I know even from my own personal life, these are difficult times. And, you know, the enemy wants us to nullify God, to mock God. Do not mock God. Do not give up. You know, it says the meaning of faithful. It says remaining loyal or steadfast. Praise Jesus. So remaining loyal or steadfast. Bible is the steadfast love of the Lord never ceaseth. Luena, remain steadfast. Wake up and strengthen what remains. Wake up and strengthen what remains. Praise Jesus. Stay blessed. Praise Jesus. I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, Jesus, araba baba sata laba kurobo sianda. Thank you, Jesus. Stay blessed. Good evening, saints. Good morning. Good day. Whatever time you find to listen to this audio, may the Lord God grace you with wisdom. May He grant you the rhema word out of everything that's going to be said. May you get your lottery. Praise you, Jesus. May God grant you a piece of a puzzle that will align you, piece of a puzzle that will strengthen you, something that will be able to sustain you over the times, you know, over the seasons that you are faced with. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. Continue loving Him. Continue loving Him. As He says in verse 9, however as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. Continue to love the Lord, and the Lord will reveal more to you. Praise you, Jesus. And the Lord will show you deep things. Hallelujah. Not only deep things about others, even about your life. And you'll begin to see the veil being removed from your face. Hallelujah. Why? Because we live in our lives, and then we live in ignorance, not knowing exactly why are certain things happening in our lives. But once the Lord reveals, you know, the truths, you know, we read it yesterday in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians. He says, this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. So God will express and reveal spiritual truths in spiritual words. So He says, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. You know, Paul was right. Anyone who doesn't have the Spirit of the Lord cannot accept the things that come from the Spirit of God.
Why? Because for them, they are foolishness, you know, and they cannot even understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So there is a discernment of the natural, discernment of the spirit. Praise Jesus. When you discern things according to logic, according to how things are happening, what the world says, this is what you know about the world, this is what you know about situations. And you always say, I've been there, I understand. Let me tell you, what you went through cannot be compared with what somebody is going through. You need to counsel someone through the wisdom of the spirit, hallelujah, not through the wisdom of the world to say, I've been there, or I know people that have been there. And I'm talking especially to us as counselors, you know, wellness people. Let us be consciously aware that as soon as we only rely on our pedagogy, we are more likely to rely on the natural wisdom. So even in your office, in your profession, make sure that you constantly inquire of the Lord, because verse 16 says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So you need to ask for the mind of Christ that liberates people. When you counsel people, their lives change completely. They get liberated. So that is when you rely more heavily on the what? On the spirit of the Lord. So I've mentioned last time to say, everything that you go through, remember when God was saying to the children of Israel, you have never been this route before. You know, he was talking to Moses, you have never been on this journey before. So later now we must just know, or we have never been on this journey before. But there is a critical thing that we need to do. It's just simple, a code. That code says, let your thoughts be the thoughts of God. Hallelujah. Let your thoughts be the thoughts of the Spirit of God. And when you do that, you'll see that human wisdom is nothing as compared to godly wisdom. So the wisdom from the Spirit is sustainable. When it breaks the yokes of bondage, it becomes permanent. So nothing that you will say to the captives, you know, nothing that you will say to those that are broken. Remember, we are referring to Isaiah 61. We have been called to set the captives free, to say to those that are mourning, give them beauty for ashes, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. That becomes a permanent healing. You know, their healing and their health becomes what? Permanent. Only when you rely on the what? The secret wisdom of God. Praise you, Jesus. The wisdom that has been hidden and that God has destined for our glory before time began. So you need to ask God questions. How do I come out of this situation? And God will grant you his wisdom. And you'll understand that in the midst of every situation, God speaks and God loves us. So let us continue to plead for the wisdom of God. But we can do that when we do it, when we come in the secret place of the Most High. Remember, I said David was a man after God's heart, as the Bible says that. But it wasn't saying, the Bible is not telling us to be discouraged because of what he did. But his heart was after God's heart. Praise Jesus. And that's what God wants. God wants us to forget about our mistakes, to forget about, you know, our foolishness, but to come and say, Lord, we need you. In chapter 104, verse 33, David says, I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. You know, David is saying that, say, yes, I understand everything. I understand where I'm coming from. But what is important is that I've made a conscious decision. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. That's a revelation, because when the Spirit of the Lord has revealed to you that, Ageko omunye, yesterday we said you are more than enough. There's nothing that can be able to sustain you except the Holy Spirit. Then you'll be able to say, I will sing to the Lord all my life. Or verse 34, may my meditation be pleasing to him.
as I rejoice in the Lord. You know, your meditation can nullify God. Your meditation can challenge God. But you are saying, Lord, may your meditation be pleasing to you as I rejoice in the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Or, but many sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. This is a person who understands that regardless of their sins, regardless of their mistakes and their foolishness, God is the only person who is in control. Hence, he says, many sinners vanish from the earth. So anyone who hurts you, anyone, you know, who stole from you, anyone who destroyed and plundered your fields, just like Gideon, you know, from the clan of Manasseh, very despised, but despisable. And just like David, a ruddy boy, God is saying, I'm going to restore you irrespective of your background. Ruddy can mean a lot of things, you know. A despised clan can mean a lot of things. But God, we see God coming through for those individuals. And in the chapter, Psalm 105, I want you just to go with me, go verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Oh, look to the Lord and his strength, seek his face always. So I wanted to encourage those people who need the Lord. Let your heart rejoice. Let your heart rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. You know, remember, I will sing to the Lord all my life. And just do that. Sing to the Lord all your life and seek his face always. Or remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. Just remember, remember that song. When I remember what the Lord has done, I'll never go back. There is a song in a season. Remember last time I said there is a war cry. Which song uplifts you when times are difficult? I'm reminded of the song that says, I will wait, I will wait. You know, I will wait, I will wait. And the song that also says, Jesu and King, this song says, Ampita Ari, Kikitle Huyena, you know, Ampita Ari, Kihalimputa Tepoyak, Ampita, then Ampita, something happens because God won Peter. And the song that says, praise you, Jesus. It's because you have made a decision. Another song, about the breakthroughs and the restoration. That song is my war cry. How salam pihlela. You know, Hopola doctor to me about the song, Your Love on the Cross. There are so many war cries that can be relevant, that can be your medicine for this season. When the enemy comes, you know, like a flood, when you sing that song, praise you, Jesus. Orego verse 7, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. They wandered from the nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. He allowed no one to oppress them. For their sake he rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. The Lord will do what he did to Abraham. The Lord will do what he did to Isaac. The Lord will do what he did to Joseph. Praise you, Jesus. But what you need to know, Kohore, that you are loved. You know, the Lord sees you. You are loved. But just rise up from those ashes. I know I often go through those moments when I feel so, I feel like I'm suffocating. You know, my heart is so heavy. But one thing that I know and one thing that will remain is that I will sing to the Lord all my life. Pray, thank you, Jesus. Ore, Mo, Psalm 105, as you are reading, Ore, they wandered from nation to nation. You are wandering from nation to nation. It could be a situation to a situation, from one kingdom to another, kingdom to kingdom that oppresses you. But Mudimu allowed no one to oppress them. The Lord will never allow anyone to oppress you. For the sake he rebuked kings. God has already arrayed, you know, holy angels to be able to fight for you. Whatever situation you're faced with, whether it's lack, whether it's poverty, whether it's debt, whether it's whatever that you need, the Lord has already made provision. Yet do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. You are anointed. You are a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, God's chosen generation. He knew you before you were born. So the Lord loves you. Ere 27, they performed his miraculous signs among them, his wonders in the land of Ham. Why? Because the Lord made his people very fruitful. Verse 24, he made them too numerous for their foes, whose hearts he turned to hate his people, to conspire against his servants. Praise Jesus. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. So they perform miracles. You will perform miracles. Your situation will be a miracle. Don't think of what Moses did at a lesser context. You are blessed. I love you, and I appreciate you. Thank you.
This was Inspirational Talk by Minister Brenda Letsholenyane, produced by Caleb Paget on United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World.
Produced by Caleb Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.
Greetings to the listeners of Finding My Way Radio everywhere in the world. This is Apostle Jerzy Lair. Today we're going to talk about the importance of feeding our spirit. It is so very key that we are watchful of our spiritual diet, because if we want to grow, if we want to have a very mature, strong, nutritious spirit, we must definitely watch our diet. Actually, we will know that we are actually in this mess that we are in now because of what we ate from the Garden of Eden, when the devil, in the form of a serpent, came to convince Eve to eat from a forbidden tree, so eat a forbidden fruit, and that led us to be in the chaos that we are in. But praise be to Jesus, who came and rescued us to such a mess. Let us find our foundational scriptures in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 35, in the King James Version of the Bible. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. This is very key, like I said in my opening statement, that one of the things we need to know, which Christ himself has highlighted, is the issue of hunger and the issue of thirst. They play a very big role in a Christian life. They play and plays a very, very important role in the life of a believer. Because if you have to go far, you must be fed well. If you have to go far, you must not be dehydrated. He addresses two things: issues of nutrition, issues of being fed for the road, issues of being well taken care of your liquids, which he equates it to test. We know water in the Bible equates to the Holy Spirit. Bread equates to Jesus Christ. So the true core of a Christian walk with God. You can never go far with God if you are not eating the Word of God. And who is the Word if it is not Christ, who was with God in the beginning, who was God? And the Bible in John chapter 1 says, and the Word become flesh. These are key things, because that which is spiritual is equated to what is natural. So So there must be a very strong balance in a Christian life between what God has given us naturally to prophetically decode spiritual issues or dimensions of what our natural realm is trying to communicate to us. No wonder the Bible says, and the nature is waiting for the true sons of God to be revealed, because there is so much spirit in nature, and there is no more, and there is so much nature in spirit. These things are more like hand in glove. Everybody has to know that when God created the universe, He made these visible things to depict to us the invisible things. So when Christ says, "I am the bread of life, he who comes to me shall never hunger." In other words, Christ is saying, if you have to be strong in life, you must eat the bread of life. In John, again, he continues saying, "I am the life." But again, in John, he says, "I am the bread of life." That means there is life, and then there is the bread of life. So in order for you to enjoy life, in order for you to endure life, in order for you to survive life, you must not only have life, but you must also have that keeps you strong, which is the bread of life, Christ himself. He says, "He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst." These are two things, taking you back to the Garden of Eden. When the serpent came to Eve, he tested him in issues of what must be eaten, because what you eat, it definitely informs who will you be. So Eve was tricked and deceived by the serpent when the serpent said to her, "You must eat the fruit, for God knows that on the day you eat, you shall be like him in knowing good and evil." So when we eat, there is a level of revelation that comes to us. But that which we eat is also equated to what shall be revealed to us. Because the devil says there is a food that when you eat, you become aware of what is evil and what is around you. And if that is the case, because we know there were two trees in the Garden of Eden, there was also the tree of life, which represented Christ. So in other words, then the devil can never point you to eat from that which will reveal the more of Christ in you. Whatever devil is projecting to you, revealing to you to eat, it has something to do with you feeding who he is in your life. Whatever you drink, it also reveals who he is in your life. Or if it does not reveal who he is in your life, it reveals who Christ is in your life. We can have a whole lot of examples. There is a whole lot of things that people drink. Some of such is the amount of liquor people consume, which tends to reveal who is in their heart. So what you eat or drink always reveals what is in you. Paul makes a powerful statement about eating and drinking and says, whether you eat or drink, do it for the glory of God. There must be something that which we eat reveals. So today, and I want everybody everywhere as you are listening, when you read the Bible, you must have a revelation that you are feeding your spiritual man. So in other words, you need to be conscious of what you are consuming into your spiritual man. Will it make him strong or will it make him weak? The fact of the matter is that we have Christians who are truly malnutritioned when it comes to the word. They only rely and depend from the word that comes from the pulpit. From there, they don't even go home and verify the truth of what has been preached from the pulpit. That is why we need to be very, very aware that when the word is preached, let's make a follow-up to go see that which has been preached to us, that it comes from the word of God, because that's the food that will make or break us. So as we continue with this message, I want you to also look at Daniel chapter 1, when Daniel was actually challenged with the issues of what must be eaten. When the eunuchs that was submitting to the king, Nebuchadnezzar of the time, came with a diet that was meant to be eaten by all young lads. But Daniel purposing in his heart, that is verse 18 of chapter 1, purposing in his heart, watching the delicacies that are on the king's table. Because you must understand that in the issues of nutrition, it's not important to be full, because you can be full of the food that is not healthy. You can be full of the food that can make you have stomach cramps. You can be full of the food only to find that the food itself is poison. So what is very key about what you eat is not only to be full, but is also to understand what it does to you. Because there must be a change when you are on the right nutrition. Look at what these guys are saying to the eunuch, to King Nebuchadnezzar, say, give us 10 days. So in other words, when you are eating something nutritious, why should it take you 10 years to change? Why should it take you a lifetime to change? Because if it is so nutritious, it got to change you, and you are not the one who's going to say, look, I have changed. Your peers will testify that there is something about you. We all know, if we have to take this practically, when you're on a special diet, those who last saw you having gained some weight, some pounds, kgs, according to South Africa, you will find people noticing that because of the special diet that you are eating, you have shed some pounds. And you don't have to say it. They will say themselves that, what is it that you are doing? We see that you have lost some weight in your life. Only then you are able to say to them, no, I'm on a special diet. So in other words, when you are on a special diet, it shows. When you're on a special diet, it does not only give you a good shape physically, it also gives you health physically. If it does act physically, imagine the spiritual diet. We can't feed on the word of God and remain the same. Christ says something profound in John chapter 6, verse 35. He says, whosoever shall come and eat of this bread shall not hunger again. So in other words, some of the worldly things that we are hungry for can only be dealt with the word. Some of the worldly things that we are so thirsty and hungry for, that thirst cannot be quenched by the things that the world offers. It can only be quenched by what the word offers. We have a beautiful example in chapter 4 of John again, when Christ has a dialogue with the woman at the well of Jacob, when he comes and starts a dialogue with, where is your husband? And he says, I have no husband. He says, you have well said. That was the start of the dialogue. But the key thing in the dialogue is the issue of water. When Christ says, can you give me water that I may drink? And the Samaritan woman says, but you have nothing at all to get the water. Christ says, if you knew who asked water from you, you would actually ask water from him, because the water I will give you, you will not thirst again. Again, his revelation from above, Christ is saying that the move of this woman from one man to another man is a spiritual test that manifests with physical habits. So in other words, there can be physical habits that are actually pointing to your spiritual need. Remember that God is a God who is so full of grace and mercy. He will rather show up in your situation like he did to a Samaritan woman. So if we have to change our habits, if we have to change the way we look, if we have to change the way we speak, if we have to change our work, we can only do it by taking our master's advice, who said, I am the bread of life. If you eat of this bread that I am, you shall never hunger nor thirst again. We need that because we are hungry for so many things. We need that bread because we are hungry for the things that are destructive to us and our family. We need the water that Christ says he is, so that we do not thirst for the things that are destructive to us. We don't need to drink things that reveals our nakedness. We need to be sober at all times. I love, this is what Paul says about the issues of drinking. He says we must not be drunk by wine that is full of dissipation. We must rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. There is also a contrast in that scripture. We must not be drunk with wine, but we must be filled with the Spirit. So in other words, when we are filled with the Spirit, therefore our quest and our thirst for other things is already quenched by the Spirit of God. We need to make sure that we are always filled with the Spirit of God and full with the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ. We need Christ in our life. We need the Holy Spirit in our life. Without these two in our lives, we will be found wanting things after things, fashion, cars, houses, and everything else. Actually, I think now what the gospel has turned out to be, it has turned out to be about what we wear, and it has turned out to be about what we drive. It has turned out to be where we stay. And all these things are natural signs of a spiritual cry. This is the message that I'm bringing to you across, that to feel your thirst, to feel your hunger, we need Christ. This actually became the highest test, because Christ upgraded this message from bread to meat, because he had some point he said to his disciples, if you want to be truly my disciples, you must eat my body and drink my blood. And they say, this is now too much of a teaching. And the rest left him. Only the revelator and the Peter kind of disciple was left with Christ, with a revelation that where can we go from you? Because issues of life springs from you. So it is very key that as we walk with Christ, we are able to go from one dimension of maturity to another dimension of maturity. And the only thing that can help us is to feed in the Word of God. We've got to eat the Word of God. John says in the book of Revelation that I heard the word that says, eat the book. Eat is the book. And he says the book became bittersweet. We can no longer pick and choose what we need from the scriptures. We can have the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation speaking to our heart. If it rebukes us, we've got to repent. If it gives us a pat on the back, we've got to praise. But we can no longer pick and choose what suits us from the scriptures. We must taste the bitterness of it. We must also taste the sweetness of it. This is what Exodus chapter 12 deals with it. When Israel is about to leave Egypt, God commands them to prepare a Passover lamb. And he says, you must eat the whole lamb. Nothing must be left. And that lamb was referring to the Christ who will hang on the cross later. And later, this is the Christ who reveals himself as the bread of life. Remember that they were also commanded to make bread without leaven, so that the bread stays fresh and stays longer. It is very key that the way we eat, we understand that it is for our sustenance. Remember when the word of God came to Elijah at some point and say, rise up and eat, for the road is so long. You must know that what you eat prepares you for the journey with the Lord. That is why you cannot compromise what you listen to. That is why you cannot compromise where and who prepares food for you. It is very key that you understand that the food you eat is going to prepare you for the road. We must understand that again as we read our scripture in the basis and in doing justice to this topic is that in the basis of what we eat, we are also preparing ourselves for a journey we do not know how long it is, only heaven knows. So in other words, whatever God provides for us, he knows that it is what we need for the journey. But having said that, as we mature in the Lord, we have also a responsibility to check what we are fed by those who are assigned to be the overseers of our souls. We must check. How do we check? Whenever a message is preached, one must go home and make a follow-up to it. Not just to criticize the message, but to make a follow-up until it sinks to your soul. I wish you hear what I'm saying. Not just go home to get a wet pen to keep what was said right and what was said wrong. There is nothing wrong with that, but the major thing should be that let me go back and eat again so that it sinks in my soul. It rejuvenates my body and refreshes my spirit and prepares me for a journey ahead. We need to eat the word of God. We need to feed in the word of God, for it is the food for our soul, body, and spirit. When we fail to do so, we do no justice to ourselves, and we can blame nobody. Paul says, by now you ought to be eating meat, but you still need milk. In other words, these are dimensions of what we eat. These are dimensions of food, and this food provides us different nutrition for our spiritual walk with God. It is not fair that one at the stage where he's supposed to be eating meat, but he is still feeding and drinking milk. We must grow up. We must upgrade from what we eat. It would not be naturally correct, neither naturally accepted, when a child forever feeds on milk and never go to solid food. By now, we need to be Christian in our churches that are ready for eating meat. Cannot again get offense from the word that came from the pulpit when you're no longer a milk Christian. You cannot be offended again by a prophecy that seeks to push you towards your destiny when you are no longer a milk Christian. Remember, meat requires teeth. You can't eat meat if you don't have teeth. That is why as you grow, you develop teeth naturally. I wish that you also do the same spiritually, because the teeth actually are preparing you for solid food, because the teeth are a sign that your body is ready for something a little bit stronger than what you have been drinking. So you must also take notice that we move from drinking to eating. It is very imperative that the Christian must understand this dimension of food and the nutrition thereof, which are a symbol spiritually, that we move from drinking to eating. At some stage, we also mix drinking with eating, because these two also works for the easily digestion of what is fed in our spiritual life. We must grow. And as we grow, we also come to a dimension where our food is not only prepared by somebody else, but is also prepared by us. So we can no longer, as we mature spiritually, blame somebody else for our growth and maturity, because we must come from drinking to eating, from eating to prepare what we need to eat, not only rely on a Sunday sermon service that is going to be dished to us by our pastor. There is nothing wrong with that. But as we mature, we must come to a place where we are also eating food that is prepared by us. That is also even more powerful, because if you prepare food yourself, you know what goes to your pot and you know what comes out of your pot to your plate. So it's very key that as a child of God, we mature in these dimensions. We launch into the deep. We are no longer children tossed to and fro. We are now matured in issues of doctrine, that there is no devil from hell that can preach a powerful message. And we say amen, because we are not sure whether it is or it is not. We must be able to say a truth from hell is equal to a lie, because there comes a time, and that time is now, where false prophets are all over the world, and they don't just come empty-handed. They come with lookalike, real prophecies and miracles. But when you are matured enough, you don't get fascinated by such. The last dimension that I want to dish out is that as you mature, you choose the things you eat, and you choose the places where you eat, because you are matured. It doesn't matter how nicely decorated the food can be and the plate can be. If you are not interested, you won't eat. That is the Daniel dimension, because I know for sure the delicacies from a king's table are truly the delicacies. But it takes a mature man to say, I'm not only looking for nice things, I'm also looking for nutritious things. May the good God bless you as you digest this message in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Wherever you are listening, I pray that the Lord will bless you, will multiply you, and expand your territory as we mature and grow together in the things of the Lord. Launch into the deep. Amen and amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Good day, everyone. You're listening to United Kingdom Radio Network USA World. My name is Chief Ambassador Chi, all the way from Johannesburg, South Africa, and welcome to this broadcast today. Brethren in Christ, this indeed is surely another day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Let us keep one another in prayer. Let us continue to pray for each other. Let us continue to encourage each other in the ways of the Lord. And watch the company we keep. Before I start with today's devotions, or today's devotion, let us watch the company we keep. But then, before that, let's pray for one another. Keep us in your prayers. We pray for your brethren in Christ and your family members too. Prayer changes things. Prayer goes far. Prayer creates things. I don't undermine prayer. Anyone who undermines prayer is a complete fool. I never undermine prayer. Especially if you pray the way the Bible instructs you to pray. You won't ever give in to the stupidity of those who doubt prayer. So let us keep each other in prayer. And our family members too.
In Jesus' name, amen. Company. The company we keep. It is very important to never take lightly the company we keep around us or ourselves or including around our families. The company of people we keep is very important. Don't take that lightly. The Bible has more than one scripture that clearly tells us about company, the company we keep, or the importance of the company we keep, and to be vigilant unto such or any company of people we keep around ourselves. Why am I talking about company today? I personally know people who were sunk because of the company they kept. I know people whose lives have changed for the worst permanently because of the company they kept. I know certain people turning into something we've never imagined themselves been turning into because of the company they kept or they keep or kept. Either way, there was bad company. There's no way around bad company. The Bible is clearly straightforward concerning the company we keep. Some people have died because of being around bad company. Some people have received permanent negative impacts in their lives, in their families' lives, because of bad company. It's rare where you get someone making it because of, you know, company of people in general. Look, this is life. Let's be real. Even though we surround ourselves with successful people, it doesn't automatically make us successful, does it now? Let's just be honest. It doesn't automatically make you successful, because if that was the case, how do you explain these millionaires who have broke friends and they found their monies onto their broke friends, but it doesn't automatically make them millionaires? It just makes them not millionaires. So that's why I'm touching really on bad company. Yes, some good company gets you some clout or gets you breakthrough, but then let's see the ratio of how many people, and look, I stand to be corrected. Let's show the ratio of how many people were successful because of the good company they kept. Concerning those, my tongue is twisted. This is getting a bit twisted. Let's see the ratio of people who were successful hanging out with people who were successful. Not that many. Maybe there are some, but that's not always the case. But then let us see anyone who has hung around with bad company of people and was not negatively impacted by that negative company, if they did not leave on time. Let's check the ratio. It's like the saying, one rotten potato in a packet of fresh potatoes will automatically make the rest of these fresh potatoes rotten. Not really a pure potato that's fresh to eat, that's ripe, that gets into a packet of rotten potatoes will never turn all these rotten potatoes into fresh potatoes. It never happens. And in fact, even amongst fresh potatoes, one is just bound to rot, if not attended to, if not all at the same time. I'm not being ominous. I'm just trying to show you the importance of bad company, or of the company you keep, the importance of staying away from bad company. Yes, that's the word I'm looking for. Bad company is not important. It's the importance of staying away from bad company. As I stated, I know of a lot of people who were sunk because of bad company. Some in whom are still negatively impacted by the bad company. They love the Lord. They pray in tongues. They are of the way. They are on the right path to meeting their Lord. Although severe situations in life took place, or hardships took place in their lives that have permanently negatively impacted the families because of bad company. Whom you keep company with is very important, believers in Christ. Let me use this first story to show you the importance of company you keep. I'll use myself, and it's not fictional. I don't use fictional stories. All my stories are true stories. So, many years ago, I'm in my neighborhood. I'm chilling with childhood friends, but this specific one, this specific individual who I used to play soccer with, so we chill and we go around everywhere in the neighborhood, and people start taking notice. Some even thought we were relatives, the way we were so close. He knew what I was about. He knew I was a born again. He knew that I am born again, not was. I still am born again through God's grace. I'm a born again person, and he happens not to be born again. He drinks, he smokes, and claims to fornicate. So we can't even tell in his speech that this man is not born again, you know. But, look, I thought maybe my company would, on the long run, you know, cause a positive impact, you know, into this young man's life. But then, that was all in vain. This specific weekend, I'm away. I'm serving at the church, handling church activities, philanthropy being part of it, and guarding the churchyard. And so I'm doing the Lord's work, and I return back to my neighborhood on Monday. Excuse me. So I'm returning on Monday. Now I'm walking to the convenience store, hoping to get airtime, and not really seeking to meet anyone. I'm just going to get airtime. Some complete stranger comes to me, or comes straight for me, and demands to know where my friend is. I was like, dude, as you can see, I'm alone. I'm from the convenience store getting airtime. I have no idea where this individual is. He's like, is he not your friend? I was like, yeah, he is. But I mean, come on, man. We're not always with each other. It's like, come on, man, don't fool with me. We know everyone. Everyone knows in the neighborhood that you all chill with each other every day. I was like, okay, dude, this sounds serious. What happened? He's like, no, this guy came into my house and broke in my absence and took some valuable items. I was like, brother, man, are you serious? He's like, yes, I'm serious. I even have a case opened and an affidavit to prove that I have reported this matter to the cops. And the cops are looking for these guys to speak. And I'm shocked. Thinking to myself that, okay, I'm absent in this specific weekend and all this just took place. But then I get another shock. One of these elderly men who, he wasn't really a car guard, but you know, those uncles who are just, you know, sitting under the shades and wasting their lives away. He comes to me asking me the same question, that where's your friend? I was like, okay, what is happening? I was like, I have no idea. He's like, hey, this man is in trouble. I was like, what did he do? He's like, no, I can't tell you now, but he's in trouble. And I'm thinking to myself that, okay, what could it possibly be? What else did he do besides the house breaking? What worse thing could he have ever done in my absence? Then I found out, oh, then I meet this goofball. Yes, I said, it is a goofball. He comes casually, or we meet, and he speaks casually of what he did. He experimented in drugs. He almost assaulted an elderly man. And it became serious. They called the cops for him, but the cops did not find him. And yes, he was chilling with this other guy whom he robbed of valuable items in his house. And he's speaking casually. I'm like, this guy, is he aware that, you know, if I had met gangsters or, you know, people who were of a different... way of living, I could have been injured for nothing, for his sake, which is nothing really, nothing I am involved in, you know. And true enough, yeah, it's the news hits the neighborhood that this guy is wanted, and you know, he did a lot of messed up things. And then I thought to myself, okay, I need to draw the line here. I cannot chill with this guy anymore. We cannot be friends anymore. He'll just be a guy in the hoods, I'll greet, and that's it, you know? Yo, like, I didn't know how to digest the situation at that time, but then with time, given to digest this thing, I actually saw more of the seriousness of this situation, of what this man almost caused me, you know, or the trouble he almost caused me. Company, the company you keep. It's important of the company you keep. Another story, my late uncle. So he and his wife have a very wonderful evening. And you know, it's just like heaven on earth. So it's late in the evening. They have locked up the doors. And they're preparing to sleep. Then they hear a knock on the door. So the wife really is annoyed by the situation, because I mean, it's understandable, it's in the evening. I mean, I mean, you know, you're not expecting any visitors, you know, in the evening. So, indeed, my uncle goes ahead and answers the door, and it's one of his buddies, or it's a group of his buddies. So they are asking him to come and check out this new car that they have, and they want him to drive it, to test drive it, all together, you know. The wife is so reluctant to the situation, and she's begging this man not to go. But these guys are persisting, you know, they're persistent, you know, they're telling me, hey, man, this is a new car, man. Come on, man, come and check it out. It's fast. It's a cool car, you know. But the wife is so reluctant, and she did not feel well in the spirit that she should leave, or that her husband should leave and, you know, go and test drive this car. But unfortunately, he goes ahead and he drives this car, and indeed, it's a fancy car. But now, there's some information that the friends did on purpose, or neglected to tell my uncle that this car was stolen. And so, the cops meet up with them. There's a shootout. He's in the middle of it, and he dies. All these weasels have escaped, but the innocent man dies in a stolen car. The company you keep, people, the company you keep is very important. You shall lose everything just because you were in the wrong company of people. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 reads as follows. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Let us open our Bibles to the book of Proverbs chapter 1 verse 8. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 8. Oh, sorry, not Proverbs. James chapter 4, verse 4. Excuse me. Sorry about that. James chapter 4, verse 4. Reads as follows. Do you not know that being the world's friend is being God's enemy? So whoever chooses to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Plain and simple, friendship with the world is enmity to God, with God. You make yourself an enemy of God. Excuse me. My last story. So, there's a gentleman in our church. He's a married man. So his wife has a toxic friend. So this toxic friend happens to rub off her influence on her friend who happens to be married. And by the way, the toxic friend is not even married. She lives a very unstable life. And is not even godly. So she keeps her as company. But now this man's marriage is suffering. The wife is starting to take after the toxic friend's nature. And so the husband takes a break and he leaves. So now the wife wakes up from her stupor and cuts this toxic friend off. The man returns, and to this day they are living happily ever after. Their marriage is so wonderful. Their marriage is heaven on earth. Things are happening in their life. And they have more children than they had. The company you keep is very important, believers in Christ. The company you keep is very important.
Well, that's all we had time for today. Let us meet next week, same time, same place, the Lord willing. This is your radio station, United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World. My name is Chikotu, all the way from Joburg, South Africa. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Greetings to you all in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Anna Motlana from South Africa on Finding My Way Radio Network, and the program is Refreshing Times. And I trust the Lord that He will refresh your spirit and renew your mind through His Word today. Today I want us to look at the love of God, the love that God has for us. We know that God loves us with agape love. His love for us is an amazing love. And it is a prayer of my heart that we may reach and get to the understanding of understanding the power of His love for us, and understanding as well how wide His love is and how high and how deep the love of God is for us. It is because of His love that we are making it through the challenges that we go through on our daily basis. And I want us to look at how much He loves us. When we look at read the Word of God, which I'm going to read from John chapter number 3, verse 16, the Word of God says, God loved the world so much, He gave His Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. And this word shows us how much God loves us. He's the one who first taught us how to love by showing us how much we meant to Him. He overlooked all our mistakes, and He just loved us so much. He loved the world, me and you. We were loved by Him, and He gave His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus willingly died for us, even though we were unworthy, even if we were sinners, even if we were undeserving, but He willingly do it on our behalf. He died on the cross for our sins, and that shows us how much God loves us. Instead of God condemning us, instead of God not showing us how much He cared for us, He did show us how much He loves us. So it says God loved the world so much. He loved me and you so much. I know that the challenges we go through and the things that we face at times, we might fail to see or to understand how much his love is for us. But we need to remind ourselves now and then that God loves us. Even though we go through the valley of shadow of death, we shouldn't fear, because his love will keep us and his love will always protect us. When we read the book of Jeremiah 31, verse number 3, we see there that his love for us is an everlasting love. It is not a love that will come and go. It is a lifetime love. He does not love us because we are perfect. In fact, if I can take you back, that God did not love us after we have gave our lives to Jesus Christ, but God started loving us when we were still sinners, and he showed us his love while we were still in sin. And that shows us that his love for us is not it's unconditional love. It's not a love that comes with conditions. He loved us irrespective of how we are. And now and then we need to just remind ourselves, as much as there are so many things happening around our lives that may make us to forget the love of God which he has for us. So Jeremiah 31:3 says that he loves us with an everlasting love. His love for us will never end. It is a love that will never end by the things which we go through. It will never end by the mistakes that we do along the way. It is a love that it is always there for us. It is always from now until the end. We will continuously experience his love, and we shouldn't never allow anything. It takes me back to Romans 8:37, where it says, Romans 8:35, where we say nothing will separate us from the love of God, because we shouldn't allow the things which we face on our daily basis that to make us to forget the love of God which he has for us. God loves us more than we can ever imagine. So Jeremiah says that he loves us with an everlasting love. So his love is a lifetime love. It will never come to an end, and we need to remind ourselves about that. And that because of he loves us so much, he continuously be so faithful to us, even at times we are not faithful to him. But he shows us his faithfulness, and his faithfulness is every day. We experience God's faithfulness every day. God shows us his faithfulness because of he loves us, and he wants us to come to that understanding how deep and how wide his love is for us, because we can understand that he loves us irrespective of what we do, and we can be able to understand, even to come to a point of understanding that our purpose here on earth. When we read the word of God in 1 John chapter number 1, verse 9, it shows us that God loves. He loves us to this extent that even at times we fail him, at times we do mistakes, and at times we sin against him, and we don't follow his instructions. As much as we do that, 1 John tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful, and the Lord is just and will forgive us from our sins and purifies us from all unrighteousness. And it shows us that God's love is able to forgive us, as much as God doesn't like it when we rebel. God doesn't like it when we disobey him. He doesn't like it when we can't follow his instructions. But that does not mean that God doesn't love us. He just does not like it when we do that. But we need to remember that even if we have done wrong, even if we have messed up along the way, we need to come to a point of saying, to confess our sins, because when we acknowledge our wrong, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us. He forgives us our sins, and then he purifies us from all our unrighteousness, because the expectation of God at the end is that we may come to this point of understanding that we need to be holy as he is holy. So every time we commit, we do something wrong, we need to run to him for forgiveness and ask him to forgive our sins and ask him to cleanse us so that we can continue in our journey being like him, looking unto him as our perfect example of loving. The love of God allows us allows us that we can find forgiveness now and then to him, even if I have hinted that God doesn't like it when we rebel, doesn't like it when we disobey him. He wants us to listen to him and to obey and to do everything which he is instructing us to do. However, if we fail to do that, we need to remember that he loves us so much that he's not going to condemn us. He loves us so much that when we acknowledge that we have failed, when we acknowledge that we have done wrong, he is faithful and he is so just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from every unrighteousness. And his love is amazing for us, because we, even if you can look at ourselves, the way we love one another, sometimes we fail to forgive one another because of we can even start counting how many times you have done the same thing over and over. But he is a perfect example of love. You know, when you read 1 Corinthians 13, it shows us how much God values love, because there it speaks about us not keeping the record of wrong, not keeping the record of wrong. And we see that God, even if no matter how many times we do wrong, but he does not keep a record of wrong for us. The love of God, it is an amazing love. When you read Isaiah chapter number 43, verse number 4, it says that you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. And this says to us, the love of God sees the best in us always. When other people cannot see how best we are, when other people cannot see even the potential that we have, when people, even ourselves at times, we don't see how valuable we are, we don't see our worth. Even people at times, they might not even see your worth, but this shows us how much God sees the best in us. It says that we are precious in his eyes. In his eyes, he sees precious things, and he honored us. He honors us, and he loves us. And we need to remind ourselves of the special love that God has for us. And even though we go through some difficulties and challenges in life, even if sometimes we may feel like we are not worth it, remind yourself that you are worth it in the eyes of God. Remind yourself that you are not useless. Remind yourself that you can make it in life. Remind yourself that because God loves you, you can achieve certain things that you need to achieve because he loves you. We shouldn't give up on ourselves, because God will never give up on us. So we need to keep on reminding ourselves of his love and how much he loves us and how much he values us. And we need to keep reminding us of our worth and stop speaking down on ourselves and seeing ourselves in a negative eye. But let us see ourselves in a positive eye, in God's eye, and understand that we are worth it. And when God looks at us, he sees great treasure for him. And we need to remind ourselves that, because there are so many things which can disturb us, there are so many things which can move our focus from seeing this. In fact, most of the time, we tend to forget how valuable we are. We tend to forget how worth it we are. We tend to forget how best we are. We even at times expect people to tell us how best we are and how good we are, and we forget to even tell that to ourselves. And sometimes we just need to yield a little bit and remind ourselves that we are the best, and God loves us, and we are precious in his eyes, and we are honored in his sight, and God loves us with an amazing love, and his love for us is an everlasting love. It's an everlasting love, and we need to keep on reminding ourselves so that we can always understand how deep and how wide the love of God is for us. Because if we get to understand that, nothing will ever have the power to separate us from the love of God. Our problem is when we lack knowledge and we don't know how much he loves us. Everything which comes along the way, it tends to make us to think as if God is not loving us enough, or God has forgotten about us. And the word of God tells us that God will never forget us. God will never forget us. God will never leave us. And our Lord will never forsake us. And we need to remind ourselves that even if we go through the challenges of life, even if at times it's overwhelming, But let us not tend to think that it is because God has forsaken us or it's because God loves others more than he loves ourselves. We need to remind ourselves that, because as we keep on reminding ourselves, just like as we are to our parents, even though they are not sometimes impressed with the things that their children do, but that does not mean they're not loving their children. And you just need to take it like that, that even sometimes things are not going the way you are expecting them, things are delaying, or the answers are delaying. You need to just remind yourself that God does not mean he has forsaken you, has forgotten about you, or he values other people more than you. We are all so special before the eyes of God, and he sees the best in every one of us. He sees the best because he knows that what he has deposited in each and every one of us. So as much as you can see other people maybe at times as if they are better than you, you need to come to a point of understanding that you are also better. You are also important, and you also matter in the eyes of God, because when he looks at all of us, he sees us as worth people, people who are worth dying for. I think that is a big thing, that God sees, he loves us that much that he saw it fit that Jesus Christ, his only son, will die for our sins, because that shows us how much God values me and you, and we are so important to him. When we read the word of God in Isaiah 49, verse number 15 and 16, it asks this question, which it says, can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child she has born? But even that were possible, I would not forget you. I have written your name on the palm of my hands. I think this is too great to know. This is too great to know that we are written on the palm of God's hand. We are engraved on his hand. And there is no way that God can forget us. It doesn't mean that he loves us so much that we are so unforgettable. And we need to remind ourselves that we are unforgettable. Even at times we might feel like God has forgotten. Remind yourself that he has not forgotten you. You know, sometimes because of the delay, like I said, it might look like that God has forgotten about us. But this gives us a confirmation, or it gives us an assurance that he will never forget about us. He has engraven us in his palm of his hand. Our names are written in the palm of his hand. We are forever before him. He knows about us. He knows about our tears. He knows about our pain. God knows about our suffering. As much as we might sometimes feel like God has forgotten, God will never forget us. He says, even if a mother can forget her nursing child, but I will not forget you. I will not forget you because I love you. I love you. You are precious in my sight and you are honored in my sight. So because of his love, he tries by all means to show us how much he loves us. He tries by all means to show us how much he cares for us. Each and every day when we wake up in the morning, we need to remind ourselves of the love of God, his precious love for us, and how much valuable we are to him, and how much he sees the best in us. And when everyone else has given up on us, God will never give up on us. When people don't see the worth, God will always see the best in you. And we need to remind ourselves of that even things are not okay today, but it does not mean that God has forgotten us, and it does not mean that God has forsaken me even in this situation. So we need to remind ourselves this and remind ourselves his promises, and remind ourselves his promises more than we are reminding ourselves of the problems. Because every morning when we wake up, we remind ourselves of the challenges that we are facing, things that we were faced with yesterday, last month, last year. You know, we are so quick to remind ourselves of the problems that we encounter in our journey, but we are forgetting to remind ourselves of the promises of God. And if we can remind ourselves now and then of the promises of God over our lives, and then we will start to trust more and more of God, and we will trust to have, we'll start to have more faith in Him. We'll start to believe Him and believe His promises. Our problem is we spend too much time meditating upon the wrong things. We spend too much time thinking about things which are going wrong and not things which are going right. And all this that are affecting our love for God and the love and His love for us. At times we become so blind because of the things which we go through, and we tend to speak and say things about our God which are not so true. It's because of we are failing to remind ourselves of His promises. We are failing to spend time in prayer with Him. We are failing to read the Word. We are failing to make positive confessions, to say that even if things are like this today, it does not mean it's going to be remain like this forever. And we need to remind ourselves that and not spend too much time on the things which will pull us down, on the things which will make us forget the love of God. We shouldn't allow it. Like Romans 8:35 says that nothing should separate us from the love of God, whether being hardships or afflictions or death or sword or whatever that you can count that you are experiencing even today. We shouldn't allow anything to separate us from His love, because His love, it is the one which make us, which sustain us on our journey with Him. And when we read Isaiah 54 verse 17, it shows us that the love of God protects us. He loves us so much that He will do anything to protect us. He protects us against our enemies. He protects us from the evil one. He keeps us away from harm. And He does all this because He loves us. When we read Isaiah 54:17, it says, no weapon formed against us will prosper. As much as He does allow our enemies to form the weapons, but the assurance that you need to have is that even if the weapons may be formed, but they will not prosper over our lives. They will not prosper over you. They will not prosper over your family. They will not prosper over your finances. They will not prosper over your life in every aspect of your life. There is no weapon which can be formed, and God will allow it to prosper. But if we don't remind ourselves of His precious love, then we forget. We forget and we panic, and we start living under the fear instead of living under the faith that God is able. So we need to remind ourselves that even though we go through all these challenges, His love is able to do anything which is needed to be done in whatever situation that we might find ourselves in. So God's love protects us against our enemies. God's love keeps us away from harm. And so it says, no weapon formed against us that will prosper. So we need to remind ourselves that even though things may not look all right, even though things may be threatening, the situations that we go through may be threatening you, but you need to understand, even in that situation, you will still see His love. God will still reach you and show you His love by doing what? By protecting you even in that situation. We shouldn't fear, because we are always under God's watch. And if we understand that He who watches over us, He does not slumber nor sleep, then we will be confident that nothing, no evil will conquer us. We will be confident that no plague will come near our home. And that's what Psalm 91 verse number 10 says, that no evil will befall us if we understand how powerful the love of God is for us. And because He loves us so much, He will do anything for us. He will do anything to protect us, anything to fight for us. He will do anything to make sure that we are safe and we are protected and we are comfortable, even in the situations which seems uncomfortable in our lives. He who watches over us does not sleep nor slumber. The Lord Himself watches over me and you. The Lord stands beside us as a protective shade. So we need to remind ourselves that in our daily challenges as we face in our journey, to remind ourselves that our God, He is so faithful, and He will never allow anything. He will never allow anything to overcome us, allow anything to conquer us. Because of His love, He will do everything in his power to make sure that we are okay. And we need to remind ourselves that God loves us with an amazing love. In the beginning, God loved the world so much. He gave us his son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have an eternal life. And we are going to pray. And we thank the Lord Almighty for his love for us. And we need to remind ourselves every day of our life that Jesus loves us. God loves us. And we need to value ourselves. We need to have faith in ourselves. And we need to remind ourselves continuously that God loves us. Let us pray. Father, I pray in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ that you will help us to understand how deep, how wide your love is for us. Help us to understand today that even though we go through challenges in life, it doesn't mean you don't love us. Help us to understand that you love us, and because you love us, you will do everything in your power to fight for us. And I pray for our brothers and sisters in the name of Jesus who are facing difficulty today, that they may feel your love, that they may be encouraged by your love, that they may understand that you love us. You love us with an everlasting love. Father, we thank you. We give you the praises and the glory. We thank you in Jesus' name, our Lord. Amen. Until next time, may our Lord bless you. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.